Laramie.
Fort Laramie, starring John Daner as Captain Lee Quint. Tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quint, Captain of Cavalry.
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir?
Pass the word to dismount and unsaddle.
Right, Captain.
I'm going up on that little knoll. Maybe I can see Mr. Seibert's party from there.
I'll be right back.
Yes, sir. Dismount and unsaddle. Fingrays water. Dismount and unsaddle. Fingrays water. All right. You unfit that mount before you graze him this time.
Sure, Sergeant. I was just going.
Well, you do it then. Dismount and unsaddle. Fingrays water.
We could make camp here, boat right there, Gorse.
Yeah.
We could go hunting and fishing, too. Maybe bake some bread.
If you don't like the Army, why didn't you stay in Louisville?
I was starving there, too. But at least in Louisville, I never had no Indians after my scalp.
You afraid of Indians, boat ride?
Sure. But I'm going to get me one. I got to get me an Indian.
Why?
Then I won't be scared no more.
Well, at least you're not in the stockade.
And that's just because Captain Quince needs me. The troop's supposed to have 83 privates full strength. I swear we're down to 60. Yeah, he needs me worse than I need him.
What's the matter, Boatwright?
Oh, nothing, Captain. Everything's fine. I like it out here.
You better like it.
Oh, sure be sitting around stockade, sir.
Last time you were in the stockade, did you just sit around?
Well, no. No, but at least I didn't ride no horse out after Indians with an understrength troop.
You'll never make a garrison soldier, Boatwright.
Oh, I like the Army, sir.
Captain Quint?
What did you find, Mr. Seibert?
We rode over there, sir, where the smoke was. There's a homestead, Captain. Sue.
Sue? Well,
that's enough, Boatwright.
Yes, sir.
Did they leave anybody there, Mr. Seibert?
The man's still alive, sir. Corporal Mercer's with him. But the woman and the little girl, they're dead.
I see. What does the man say?
Nothing, sir. He's got no tongue.
Take charge of the troop, Mr. Seibert. Sergeant Gorse and I'll ride over there.
Yes, sir. And, Captain, take a look at this.
Where'd you pick it up?
Sue. The only Indian the man killed before they got him.
Seibert, that's a Henry rifle, latest model. But the Indians have gotten their hands on guns like that. Let's move out, Sergeant. How is he, Corporal?
Is he bad, sir? They burned him some, too, but he's still conscious. Sure is a slow way to die.
100 miles to Fort Laramie, Captain.
He'll never live that long. Sergeant, give me your revolver. You and Corporal Mercer start back. I'll catch up with you.
Yes, sir. Move out, Mercer.
Think we'll go after them, Sue, Gorse?
I'm a first sergeant, not a captain.
Well, I know, but you and Quince run this troop.
He's Captain Quince to you.
Sure.
And he runs his troop.
Sure.
Everything all right, Captain?
Everything's all right, Sergeant.
What's that?
Shut up and keep riding, Corporal.
Well, what do you suppose?
Shut up, I said.
Sure.
Sergeant.
Sir?
When we get back, fall in a burial party.
Yes, sir.
See that those graves are cairned.
Yes, sir.
One other thing, Sergeant. Don't forget your revolver. That homesteader doesn't need it anymore. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
Captain, I know you're mad because I ordered you back from chasing those Sioux last week.
You didn't see what they did to that Homestead family, Major.
I've seen their work before, Quince.
There'll be more of it if we don't stop them.
10 miles from this post, there's a reservation of 4,000 Sioux. An uprising there'd be far more serious than your little band that's marauding under Yellowknife.
You have enough troops to patrol the reservation, Major, and still secure Fort Laramie here. Give me just half of B Troop, and I'll run down Yellowknife and his renegades.
My orders are to keep a constant watch on the reservation and to secure Fort Laramie with all remaining troops.
Yellowknife is being supplied with rifles, Henry 44s.
I know.
Those are repeating rifles, Major.
I've reported this to Washington, Captain.
Whoever's smuggling those rifles has got to be stopped, or every brave on the reservation will join Yellowknife. In spite of your patrols.
I've received no change of orders, Captain.
We can't afford to wait, sir. Give me Sergeant Gorse and 3 men, and I'll at least find that gunrunner. I'll leave tonight, Major.
You will not leave.
Is that a direct order?
It is.
Am I interrupting, Uncle Ned?
Oh, come in, my dear, come in. My niece, Captain, Miss Terry Lawson. This is Captain Quince, Terry.
How do you do, Captain?
Ma'am.
Miss Lawson arrived while you were away, Captain. She's going to keep house for me if she doesn't change her mind about Army life.
Are you coming to the dance tonight, Captain Quince?
Dance?
Haven't you heard?
I decided to hold a dance tonight, Captain, for such officers as are available and for a few civilians from Laramie. It'll show the Sioux we aren't as frightened as they might think we are.
I see.
You're coming, Captain?
Do you think Washington can spare me for a dance, Major?
Washington?
Inactivity is a hard burden for the captain, Terry.
Oh.
But I'd suggest the captain be at the dance tonight.
Good day, miss. Major. Captain Quince reporting his order, Major.
You make it difficult, Captain. You remember my niece, Miss Lawson.
Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Captain. But it's Miss, not ma'am, if you please.
Sorry, Miss.
Wanted everyone possible to be here, Captain. For the sake of morale, you know.
Yes, sir.
A lot of the townspeople are here. Oh, there's Lieutenant Mapleton. Would you escort Miss Lawson, Captain? Excuse me. Oh, Mapleton.
My arm.
Thank you, Captain. You weren't in the war with Uncle Ned, were you?
No. I started out as a scout for General McClellan just before Lee ran him away from Richmond.
And you became an officer afterwards?
I was commissioned in the field, Miss Lawson. President Lincoln was mighty short of officers by 65. They needed officers, and I made a good one.
Captain, Uncle Ned says you know more about the Sioux than anyone at Fort Laramie. Do you think the rest of the reservation will make trouble?
I don't know, miss. I haven't been out there.
You mean you could tell just by going out there?
Wild Dog's an old friend of mine.
Who's Wild Dog?
He's a chief. He's about 80, but he's pretty smart.
Captain Quince, if those Sioux did rise, would they attack the fort here?
Hard to say. If there's 4,000 of them and only 400 of us, shall we go back?
Oh,
Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir?
Until I return in the morning, you'll act in command of B Troop. I'm taking Sergeant Gorse with me. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then escort Miss Lawson back to the major. You'll excuse me, miss?
You're going to see Wild Dog, aren't you?
Yes.
Isn't it pretty dangerous, Captain? Two of you walking right in among all those Sioux?
We'll try to reach Wild Dog first.
But, Captain...
Good night, Miss Lawson.
You are listening to Fort Laramie, starring John Daner as Captain Lee Quince.
Drop your gun belt across your saddle, Sergeant.
Mean that, Captain?
Revolver wouldn't do you much good if these Sioux decide they want us. We're safer unarmed.
All right, sir.
Let's move out.
Wished I had at least a bowie knife.
It's late. Most of them are asleep.
4,000 Sioux in this campaign, all asleep.
No. We're being watched, all right.
Yeah. Some young buck could get himself his first coup feather by spearing us.
You wouldn't want to stand in the way of a man becoming a brave, would you, Sergeant?
Captain, we're being stopped.
I see him. Keep walking.
Only one brave, we can handle him.
Leave him to me, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
The only Wild Dog, nya.
Isleahi.
Ilyazo Valu. Iazo. Let's move, Sergeant. But keep an eye on him.
Still just standing there, sir.
I told him I'm a friend of Wild Dogs. Luckily, he's from the same clan.
What clan is that, Captain?
White Fox. There it is. See that medicine pole over there?
With the white skin on it?
That's Wild Dog's lodge. Wait out here, Sergeant.
Oyo, Newsia. Come in, my son. Sit down.
It's been a long time since we've talked, Wild Dog.
A long time. And you come now because of Yellow Knife.
Yellow Knife is leading your young men into war with my people.
Sioux always been warriors. It is good to die in battle. Sioux now have white man's rifles that shoot many times.
And you know about the rifles?
I know. Soon every brave on reservation will know, and they will leave. Guard of soldiers make no difference.
It'll lead to war, Wild Dog. Big war.
There are many clans among the Sioux. I am chief only of White Fox.
What clan is Yellow Knife?
Yellow Knife is of Two Moon Clan.
But there are White Fox braves with him?
Yeah. I cannot stop them. I remember what it was like when I was young.
It was different when you were young, Wild Dog. You had a chance then, but now they have no chance.
They have many rifles.
They have a few, Wild Dog. But the white man, the cavalry, has thousands of rifles. In the end, the Sioux cannot win. He must live in peace or he will be wiped out. You're a wise man. You know this is true.
Yes, you are right.
Yellow Knife and his braves will be caught and punished. Some of them will die. But if I don't stop his supply of rifles, many more of your people will die.
You want to know where rifles come from?
Tell me where Yellowknife meets the white man who's supplying them. I'll do the rest. You'll be saving lives, Wild Dog. Sioux lives.
For the sake of my people, I tell you. Place north of here. Place you call Bright Canyon.
Bright Canyon. When it's over, I'll come back and we'll smoke the pipe.
If you come back.
If I come back. Captain Quince reporting, sir.
I hear you left the post last night, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Well, you never were much of a garrison soldier, were you?
No, sir.
You saw your friend Wild Dog, I suppose?
Yes, sir.
Well, Captain, I have new orders from Washington this morning.
Yes, sir.
As you know, I reported the matter of Yellowknife being supplied with Henry 44s.
You mean I can run him down, Major?
No. My orders to patrol the reservation and to secure Fort Laramie still stand. We are not to go after Yellowknife. But the importance of the Henry rifles is recognized, and we're to put a stop to it.
Yes, sir.
Can you do it?
I can.
All right, take half of B Troop only. You may have Sergeant Gorse and Lieutenant Syberts and two corporals of your own choosing.
Right, sir.
Pass the head of your column through the main gates of the post 1/2 hour before reveille tomorrow morning.
Yes, sir.
And remember, Captain Quince, your orders are to stop that gun smuggler, not to run down Yellowknife. And if you get into trouble, there'll be no reinforcement. Are there any questions?
No, sir.
Then move out.
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir?
Ride out here with me and take a look at these tracks.
Well, one shod pony, rest of them's mules, Captain.
And they're not Indians, are they?
No, sir.
And they're headed straight for the rim of that canyon ahead.
Bright Canyon, Captain.
Wild Dog wasn't lying. Take 5 men and ride out ahead of Corporal Mercer's point. Make a reconnaissance of the north rim. If it's clear, send a runner back.
Yes, sir.
Tell the point to swing north and to dismount in the cover of those trees below the crest.
Right, sir.
Move out. Yeah.
Mr. Simon!
Yes, Captain.
I think we've found our man, Mr. Syberts. He'll be in that canyon up ahead. Sergeant Gorse is scouting the north rim of the canyon. If it's clear, we'll hide in those trees just below it. Then we'll wait.
Wait for what, sir?
We'll catch him in the act, Mr. Syberts, when Yellowknife comes for his rifles.
Captain, you said Major Honeyman's orders are to get the gun smuggler and leave Yellowknife alone. If you do it this way, there'll be a fight.
We're in the field, Mr. Syberts. I'll be responsible for my orders.
Yes, sir.
Not my fault if Yellowknife gets in the way when we move in on that gun smuggler.
No, sir.
Syberts, pass the word to space out and stagger the odd files to the left. We're raising too much dust.
What are you doing over here, Vickers? Go on back to your post.
Oh, there's nothing happening down there in the valley. He's some gun smuggler. Just sits around in his cabin. What's the matter with Captain Quince, anyway? Half a troop against one man, and we hide around watching him for 2 days.
You can't figure nothing, Vickers. We're waiting for Yellowknife.
Them Sioux? You mean we're going to fight them?
As soon as they show up.
You scared, Boatwright?
All I need's to kill me an Indian. Then I won't be scared no more.
Yeah, me too. I think.
Who's throwing that rock?
It's Gorson, the captain.
Well, get on down there. He's signaling to you.
Oh, I'll catch it now.
You're going away from your post, Vickers.
I couldn't see nothing where I was. I was wondering if Boatwright could, Sergeant.
You can be shot for leaving your post at a time like this, Vickers.
Yes, sir, Captain.
You're risking the life of every man in this troop. Get back to where you belong.
Yes, sir.
Captain, Boatwright wants us.
Come on.
The end of the canyon, sir. Look, there they come.
Yelling at.
How many braves you figure he's got with him, Gorse?
Hard to say yet, sir. Maybe 30.
They got a bunch of horses, too.
That's to pay for the rifles.
Captain, I can see more than 30 Sioux down there. They must be nigh out of 40.
There. There's that dirty gunrunner now. Out talking with Yellowknife.
I wish we had the whole of B troop here, sir.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir?
Take Boatwright and move about 300 yards west of here. When you're ready, I want you to ride straight down into the canyon.
What?
Shut up, Boatwright.
Your orders are to find out if they're really trading for guns down
there. But, Captain...
If you run into any trouble, I'll have to help you out of it, that's all.
I understand, sir. Come on, Boatwright, let's move out.
Well, if all
will
the crazy...
Shut up, like I told you.
Tell Mr. Seibert's there. I want to see him.
Right, sir.
You wanted me, Captain?
Mr. Seibert's? I think those Sioux down there are trading for Henry rifles. Sergeant Gorse and Boatwright are going to ride down and find out.
You mean they're going alone, sir?
They are. There'd sure be a fight if we appeared in force. Might even look like I was trying to run Yellowknife down.
But they'll be killed, sir.
Well, I can't let that happen. If they're attacked, we'll just have to ride in. It'll be a rescue mission, Mr. Seibert's.
I understand, Captain.
Get back to the troop and pass the word to saddle and mount. Space out to 60 paces between mounts. It'll make us look full strength. Move out.
Troops ready, Captain.
Just in time. There go Gorson, Boatwright.
They'll be seen any minute, sir.
Yeah. Let's get back. Get mounted, Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir.
They've chased them far enough. Get those stolen horses rounded up.
Right, sir. Here.
You're all through, mister. Come out of there.
No. He ain't gonna hang me.
Come out with your hands up and you'll get a trial.
Hanging's bad. I ain't gonna hang.
Your choice, mister. Come out or I'll kill you right there.
I'll take my chances.
Suits me.
Running, Captain. But we killed some of them.
What about Yellowknife?
He's dead. Right over there, sir. Private Boatwright killed him.
Is that Boatwright flying over there, too, Mr. Syberts?
I'm afraid so, sir. He took a bullet after he got Yellowknife.
Sergeant Gorse has some men rounding up the horses, Mr. Syberts. Reform the rest of the troop and take care of the wounded. Pick out 6 men for a burial party.
Yes, sir.
Corporal Mercer! Over here!
Boatwright.
Captain, sir?
What can I do for you?
Nothing, Captain. I'm all shut up. There's nothing anybody can do.
That was Yellowknife you killed, Boatwright.
I always wanted to get me in you, Captain. But I sure never figured it'd be Yellowknife.
You did fine, Boatwright.
Here. Here's something I took off Yellowknife. You keep it for me. You know what it is.
Yeah, sure do.
I feel all wet. Inside, yeah.
I'm sorry, Boatwright.
It's all right. I ain't scared.
Of course not.
Tell them all goodbye for me, Captain. All of them.
I've just finished going over your report, Captain.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not sure on reading it whether you deliberately disobeyed orders or not. Would you care to clarify that point?
Major Honeyman, did you ever see one of these?
That's a scalp.
Private Boatwright took it off Yellowknife, Major. It's a woman's scalp. Young woman.
Get rid of it.
Yes.
Captain Quince, I'm reporting to Washington that the gun smuggler's been destroyed, but that you were attacked by Yellowknife during the operation and were forced to defend yourself.
Thank you, Major.
That's all, Captain. Captain.
Yes, sir?
Miss Lawson wanted me to ask if you'd care to have supper with us.
My compliments to Miss Lawson, sir. I'll be there.
One more thing. In regard to your recommendation for a posthumous medal for Private Boatwright.
Yes, sir.
Washington might question a report that recommended an honor for one of the soldiers who actually brought on Yellowknife's attack. For the good of the troop, I'd suggest...
That's all right, Major. Boatwright would understand. He was a real soldier. A line soldier.
Thank you, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Laramie was written by John Meston with music by Rex Corey and was produced by Norman McDonald. Join us next week for another drama of the early frontier. and of the brave men who fought under Captain Lee Quince, United States Cavalry.
Lads, that was the audition program for Fort Laramie starring John Danner. That show aired on the 25th of July, 1955. Fort Laramie would be picked up as a sustained show, beginning its airing on the 22nd of January and running out through the 28th of October, 1956. Would star Raymond Burr as Captain Quince. John Danner would go on to do other things, namely what's coming up in the second half of the billing, J.P. Kendall and Frontier Gentlemen. First, fulfill some FCC obligations.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Okay, as I mentioned before, a public service announcement. We're going to hear Frontier Gentlemen. I forget what episode this is, maybe 13. It's titled Aces and Eights, with an original air date of the 12th of October, 1958. You're listening to Arthur. This is the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio.
In a card game, aces and eights are known throughout the West as a dead man's hand. There's a good reason for it. And this is the story of how the hand got its name.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just 1 minute, we'll bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentlemen. This is James Matthews with official results. On the automobile competition the whole industry watches every year, the famous Mobil Gas Economy Run. This year's run, 1,883 miles from Los Angeles to Galveston, Texas, ranging from sea level through mountain passes. And once again, Chrysler Corporation cars took the lion's share of firsts. Plymouth, Chrysler, and Imperial again this year for the second straight year, winning first place over all other cars in their class in the famous Economy Run. Imperial, by the way, was sweepstakes winner, too, getting 62.7188 ton miles per gallon. The forward look is a lot more than look. You get a better engine, brownier brakes, torsionaire ride at no extra cost, and winning performance and economy in cars of the forward look from Chrysler Corporation. Take a drive this week in a car of the forward look. Plymouth, Dodge, DeSoto, Chrysler, or the triumphant Imperial.
drive one of America's performance winners from Chrysler Corporation. Now starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I left Fort Benton, Montana Territory, in a little river steamer called the Pride of the West. The journey downstream on the Missouri was a good deal faster than that which I had made coming up from St. Louis just a few months earlier. I decided to write some articles for the London Times on river travel in the American West. But the balmy weather, coupled with a feeling of complete indolence, made me put off all thought of work. Several days passed, and then we docked at Fort Pierre in Dakota Territory. I went ashore to purchase a new pair of boots. And it was in the store of an outfitter named Judd Scott that I first heard the name of Deadwood. Well, the left one might be a bit tight.
Yes, right here, in the heel.
Oh, she'll ease up, mister. Of course, I don't do much trade in ready-mades. If you had more time, I'd make you a real fine pair. Finest in Dakota Territory. Here, let me take it off. I'll try to work it out. So you're a newspaper correspondent, huh? Well, we've had them come through, but none from England. Must be pretty interesting, your line of work.
Yes, it is, quite.
Yeah, too bad you ain't staying around these parts. Your folks back home would get a pleasure out of reading about things we got around here.
You mean in Fort Pierre?
Well, ain't too much going on here. I guess you could write about Jack McCall, though. Try it on now. It
all
should
right.
be better.
Jack McCall, huh?
He used to drive a stage between here and Deadwood. Got some tall yarns to spin about Indians and the like. Go ahead, take a walk now.
Yes, I'd like to meet him.
He's back in Deadwood now. How's that? That better?
Yes, fine. Where is Deadwood?
You mean you ain't heard of it? Worst bunch of cutthroats and outlaws living in all the territories, and the United States is in Deadwood. They even got Wild Bill Hickok out there. I hear tell there's folks wanting to put him up for marshal.
Hickok? Yes, I've heard of him.
Yeah, it won't take Wild Bill long to clean up, I can tell you.
Deadwood, huh?
Oh, you taking the boots?
I'm taking them. I sold the remainder of my ticket to a man booking passage for St. Louis. And the next day took the stage from Fort Pierre to Deadwood in the Black Hills of Dakota Territory. At the stagecoach station in Deadwood, I inquired after Jack McCall and was directed to Carl Mann's saloon. Even though it was Sunday, I was surprised to see that the place was practically empty. A hatchet-faced woman, dressed in black, was drinking alone at the bar. And I found McCall, a broken-nosed, sullen-looking man, sitting at a table playing a game of solitaire.
Yeah, that's me. Who's asking to know?
J.B. Kendall.
What's your business, J.B. Kendall?
Well, a gentleman in Fort Pierre mentioned your name. He runs the general store.
Judd Scott?
Yes, that's right.
How come you want to talk with me?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm a newspaper correspondent, and I thought there might be a story to write about Deadwood, and your friend suggested that I get in touch with you.
What kind of story are you thinking about?
I understand that Wild Bill Hickok is in town. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm. Why don't you ask her? Or at the bar. Calamity Jane. Figures she knows him better than most.
Oh, well, thank you, I will. Perhaps I can buy you a drink after?
Suit yourself. I ain't going nowhere.
Miss Jane?
You talking to me? My name's Calamity. Ain't no miss in it. Calamity Jane.
I'm sorry. I'm J.B. Kendall. The gentleman over there mentioned that you were a good friend of Wild Bill Hickok.
Who? Why, That ain't no gentleman. That's a stinking pig by the name of Jack McCall. You've been sitting with him. Don't foul up the air around me. Hit the trail, mister.
I was hoping you could introduce me to Mr. Hickok.
Hey, you English?
Yes.
Thought so. Knew an English feller down in Abilene. Wouldn't quit riding herd on me. Had to shoot him. New in town, ain't you?
Just arrived.
You ain't friend of McCall?
Oh, I only met him a few minutes ago.
What brings you?
I'm a writer. Newspaper articles for the London Times.
Hey, I guess you heard about me and Wild Bill, huh?
Oh, yes.
Fastest man with a gun you'll ever see. I ain't too bad myself, but I ain't nothing to Wild Bill. Come on over to the table, bring the bottle, and I'll tell you about me and Wild Bill.
Calamity Jane was a strange, almost masculine-looking woman, hard and rough-voiced. She told me of her exploits as a scout with General Crook's army in the war against the Sioux, but most of the time she spoke of Hickok. About a half an hour had passed when I noticed Jack McCall get up from his table and come toward us.
Yes, sir. What Wild Bill done in Abilene, there ain't another man could have handled. Why,
he... Mister, I thought you was going to buy me a drink.
Oh, not just now, Mr. McCall. I'm talking to the lady.
Oh, yeah, I see. It's mostly listening. Ain't nobody gets to talk much around her.
McCall, you want me to put your eyeballs out with this bottle? You open that barn door of yours just once more.
Kendall, you come on down to Boot Hill Saloon when you're through. I'll tell you the truth about that female polecat there in a windy train.
One of these days, me or Wild Bill's gonna pump that coyote full of lead. Except he ain't worth wasting a ball on.
And all I know about him is that he used to drive the stage between here and Fort Pierre.
Yeah, lost that job because he couldn't hold his liquor. Used to be a buffalo hunter till the feller he worked for caught him stealing hides. He ain't no good, that one, and his pals is worse. You ever run into Tim Brady or Johnny Varnes, you watch your step, mister. Them's two of the boys, along with McCall, and Wild Bill's gonna run out of this town when he gets to be marshal.
Where is Wild Bill now?
He's up in the hills working on his claim. Him and his partner, Colorado Charlie. They ought to be back by tomorrow. He'd like to meet you, mister. Wild Bill always had a liking for you newspaper fellers. Well, what's your hurry? Sit down. We'll split another bottle.
Thank you, but now I think I'd better get settled. Wash some of this Dakota dust off.
What a dude. All right, go on up the hotel. Tell him Calamity Jane sent you, and if they don't give you the best room, I'll shoot up the place.
The recommendation was most effective. I got the best room in the hotel. 2 hours later, in spite of Calamity Jane's warning, I wandered down to the Boot Hill Saloon. I was curious about McCall and what he might have to say about Calamity and Wild Bill Hickok. I found him there, very drunk. He was talking to a heavy-set man who was chewing on an unlit cigar. McCall greeted me as an old friend.
Hey, what do you say, Kendall? You had enough of that female windbag, huh? Hey, Tim. Tim, this is the fellow I was telling you about. Kendall's his name. Kendall.
How are you? Tim Brady.
I owe Mr. McCall a drink. I came down to settle my debt.
Well, that's real fine of you, Kendall. Oh, Jim Kendall's come to Deadwood to write a story about Wild Bill Hickok, the new marshal of Deadwood.
Go and get yourself a drink, McCall.
Sure, Tim.
Take a chair, Kendall.
New marshal of Deadwood.
I wouldn't pay no heed to what McCall says. Not when he gets too much whiskey in him.
Well, did he say something?
About Hickok being marshal.
Oh, well, it's not particularly news. I heard that in Fort Pierre 5 days ago.
Well, don't you believe it.
Oh?
Fellas around here, they don't want his kind. You go writing in your paper a thing like that, you're going to have to turn right around and write that it ain't true.
He's not going to get the job?
No. I tell you, He does a lot of ear greasing, like that crowbait mare, Calamity Jane. But all them things you hear is just a lot of brag. Hickok never plugged a man unless the feller's back was turned. I was down to Abilene when he dragged Gulch real cold. This is the worst thing you ever seen. Shot him in the back. Then by mistake, he goes and kills his own pal, Mike Williams. Oh, sir, Deadwood ain't gonna put up a man like that for Marshall. You think so?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose it depends on how many want him.
Oh, well, there's a lot of them miners up to the hill. They're the ones. Figure he's a real big man. Heard all them crazy stories about him. You want to know what I think?
I'd be very interested.
I don't think he'd last 2 minutes as marshal before somebody shot the daylights out of him. Yes, your best thing for Hickok to do is get out of Deadwood and stay out. You see him, you tell him that.
The next night, Calamity Jane introduced me to Wild Bill Hickok. He looked older, more tired than I'd imagined him. As we sat in his room, I noticed that he blinked his eyes, rubbed them, and seemed quite nervous. Constantly glanced toward the door. Calamity had gone out to buy some food.
Me and Colorado Charlie had a rough week up in the hills. Feels kind of good to get back. You ever done any mining, Kendall?
No, no.
Well, if you ever had the idea, get somebody else to do the work for you. Well, what do you think of Deadwood?
Oh, I haven't been here very long.
Ain't much like London, I'll bet.
No, it isn't.
Well, do a little cleaning up like I did in Hayes City in Abilene. We'll have a right nice little town.
When do you expect to begin as marshal?
Any day now, the boys are getting things moving.
I saw a man yesterday, Tim Brady.
Brady?
And he asked me to give you a message.
Huh?
The best thing for Hickok to do is to get out of Deadwood and stay out.
Well, that's what he said, huh?
Yes.
You know why? They're afraid of me. They know what's going to happen after I get sworn in. I run them out, and if they don't run, we have a showdown. Brady and his pal Varnes ain't got stomach for that.
I gather they're the somewhat unsavory element in Deadwood, is that so?
Mister, you ain't just milking pigeons. Why, them miners up in the hills would be dead ducks for Brady and his gang if it weren't for me. This is the worst mining camp in the territory. Ain't been no law here since it started, and Brady don't want none. That's how come the miners want me for marshal, protection.
Well, I'm surprised he hasn't tried to get rid of you before this.
Yeah, that Jayhawker knows what had happened to him in a shoot-up. He ain't likely to try nothing. A fellow like that gets somebody else to do his dirty work.
It's only me, Bill. Put away the gun.
I told you, Charlie, you ought to knock.
Keep forgetting.
This is J.B. Kendall. He's going to write a story about me for an English paper.
Yeah, I run into Calamity down to Carl's place, and she told me. Nice to meet you, Kendall.
And you, sir.
My old pal, Charlie Utter.
Colorado Charlie's good enough.
Kendall's been talking to Brady.
Oh, that's so? Rest your saddle, Bill. You make me tired standing.
Brady said I ought to get out of town.
Oh, he'd like that fine.
Yeah, he'd like that. Well, I guess I'll go and wash up before Calamity gets back. You staying around, Charlie?
Yeah, I thought maybe we'd go down to Carl's later and play some cards.
All right. I'll be right back.
Sure. Got a lot on his mind, has Wild Bill. He ain't usually like this.
He seems to have trouble with his eyes.
Oh, you noticed, huh? I wouldn't want you to say nothing in front of Bill, but he's been scared he's going blind. Things sure don't seem like the old days. Oh, I gotta get these boots off. My feet's killing me.
Is he?
Wild Bill? Let me see. 39. Of course, to hear him talk, you'd think he's closer to 60. I sure do fret over him sometimes. Always talking about dying, this and that. Ain't like the old days. He sure was a rip snorter. Oh, well, maybe when he gets to be marshal again, everything will be like it always was.
Calamity Jane came in with the food. and behind her, Bill Hickok. It was a strange supper. Both Colorado Charlie and Calamity kept up a stream of conversation, anecdotes singing the praise of Hickok's past accomplishments, but the atmosphere was strained. The man with the long hair didn't say very much. Afterwards, Charlie Utter invited me to accompany them to the saloon. I noticed that Hickok was reluctant. Possibly he had a feeling, a warning of what was to come. It was 8 o'clock when we arrived at Carl Mann's saloon and sat down at the card table.
Charlie, change seats with me. I ain't sitting with my back to the door.
Wow, Bill, you're getting worse than an old woman.
Well, maybe so, but that's the way it is. I like to see what's coming in.
Well, here. Yeah, take my place if you like.
Yeah, no, sir. All he wants is a catbird seat. That's how come he's always winning. You ain't moving, Bill.
You got the right idea, Charlie. Well, Bill, you got your seat, and that's the way it's going to be. Carl, bring us a bottle of whiskey and a deck of cards. Marshal Hickok's going to be the big loser tonight.
After a few minutes, we were joined by a miner, and the five of us played. It was a friendly game, and we could see Hickok beginning to relax. He was a good player and held more than his share of winning hands. But while the game went on, there was something happening down the street in the Boot Hill Saloon. We didn't know it then, but after it was too late, we heard what had taken place. Three men sat in a back room, one of them drinking heavily. This was Jack McCall. The other two were Tim Brady and Johnny Varnes, the leaders of the Toughs in Deadwood.
Well, I'm telling you, Jack, you'll be a big man.
Why, they'll look at you when you walk down the street. They'll say, there goes Jack McCall. He killed Wild Bill Hickok.
Now, you hear what Johnny says?
Yeah, I hear. Give me another drink, Jack.
Well, sure. He's in Carl's place right now. You could get him easy.
Oh, might not be so easy.
Well, you ain't afraid, are you, Jack?
No, I ain't afraid.
No,
I ain't afraid, but it just won't be so easy.
Of course, we could get somebody else to do it. We just figured, Tim and me, we figured you was the man for the job.
I ain't saying I won't do it.
You know what we could do, Johnny?
What?
We could maybe get that newspaper feller, you know, Kendall, to write something about Jack in his paper.
Hmm?
How'd you like to see that, boy, in an English paper? Jack McCall shoots down Wild Bill Hickok. Yeah, you could go on the stage all over with that.
Sure.
Yeah. He's right down the street, Jack. Yeah, I seen him myself. You know what? He's sitting with his back to the door.
Hey, you listen. Just listen. How come if you was there, you didn't plug him yourself?
Yeah, it ain't no use, Johnny. He don't understand. All right.
No, wait a minute. I'm just asking. That's all. Now, just tell me how come.
Because Calamity Jane and Colorado Charlie is with him. If they saw me, they'd know something was wrong. But not you, Jack. They wouldn't figure you drawing on Hickok.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's all I wanted to know is why.
All right. What do you say, Jack?
Sure, why not? Sure.
Give him a gun, Johnny. And don't you miss, boy, you hear?
Three kings.
He's beat there. You, Wild Bill.
I mean, son of a gun if he hasn't. I had you pegged for no more than two pair.
Yeah, Kendall ain't the best player, see, but he's sure a lucky one. Deal him out, Calamity.
All right.
New feller once in Hayes City drew two cards to a royal. Luckiest thing I ever seen.
That's a loco thing for a man to do.
Sure was. Took one look at his hand and keeled over plumb dead.
You know, I had a hand something like that. I won a Chinese girl with it a few weeks ago in Deer Lodge.
Chinese?
I did.
No kidding.
Sure.
What did you do with her?
Oh, I gave her to a man I knew. He married her.
Open for a dollar.
Wait. Yes, I'm staying.
Stay? Me too.
I ain't proud. There. Cards?
Three.
Kendall?
Two, please.
Give me one. Now, here's a man's gonna drop dead if he pulls it right.
How's about you, Charlie?
Two.
Dealer takes three.
Honest woman.
That's one thing I ain't or never hoped to be. Your bet, Wild Bill.
Well, I'll tell you, friends, I'm going to make this rough on you. $2. All right. I call. Not me. And I ain't dropping dead, neither. Well, I'll see you.
I'm a sucker. All right. What do you got, Wild Bill?
Prettiest two pair you ever seen. Aces and eights.
Wild Bill Hickok slumped forward on the table. He still had the winning smile on his face and the cards crumpled in his tightening fist. It was Calamity Jane who found Jack McCall. He was hiding in a butcher shop nearby. Colorado Charlie and I dragged him away before she had a chance to use the meat cleaver she was holding. We found 6 cartridges in McCall's gun. The only one to fire was the first, the one that killed Hickok. The other 5 were defective. Before I left Deadwood, McCall was tried for murder, but Brady and Barnes must have chosen the jury themselves, because the final verdict was not guilty.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were John McIntyre, Jeanette Nolan, Jack Moyles, Larry Dobkin, Stacey Harris, and Dick.
As you heard, that was Frontier Gentlemen. An original air date, the 12th of October, 1958. Frontier Gentleman starred John Daner. We heard him in the beginning of the show in Fort Laramie. Frontier Gentleman would air from the 2nd of February to the 16th of November, 1958, on Sundays on CBS. I believe that was a sustained show, too, even though you heard some mumbo-jumbo about the Chrysler Company. This is Arthur. You're listening to The Grand Hour for another couple of minutes here. Marco's in the studio. He'll bring you some music for Wake Up Sleepyhead. I'm going to play out the rest of the set with a little something interesting I found here. Robert Crumb and the Cheap Suit Serenaders. You're listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
All the time, need the tropical vine, where they do the hula hula dance. I fell in love with a chocolate dove while learning the funny, funny dance. This poor little kid, why she never did, been loving before. So I made up my mind, I try to find the only girl I did love. Well, I love a pretty little Lama Holly, a hula girl. She's gonna make you giggle, hula girl. She'll surely make you giggle, hula girl. This poor little kid, why she never did, been loving before. So I made up my mind, I try to find the only girl I did love. Well, I love a pretty little Lama Holly, a hula girl. She's gonna make you giggle, hula girl. She'll surely make you giggle, hula girl. With an odd little wiggle, someday try to make her hop a holly, girlie of mine, all the time I'm dreaming of her, hop a holly hula girl. And I started to
Get him, Mike. Get him, Mike. Get